Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Matthew 5, 1 through 12. Jesus saw the crowds, and he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them the Beatitudes. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our redeemer, and it is in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. Hey, do me a favor. Thank, if you will, please, Stephanie Hixom and Craig Gilliam. They have served us over the last couple of months. They are part of Just Peace, which is helping us grow and learn, and we thank them. They traveled from God knows where else besides Washington, D.C., but we know that at least. We're thankful for your presence among us. They're great leaders of the church. Let's thank them for their presence here this day. It is a good thing that I've written every time I preach a message, I write two different versions of it. And so I'm going to turn and call it audible, as I like to say. I'm going to preach the other message. So y'all don't act like I just like changed it. I did. I just changed it more than you know. We have been in this series for the last several weeks called The Beatitudes. It is preparation for us to enter into what is going to be a series called The Great Exchange, which is coming in March, where we get ready for Easter and the triumphant entry of Christ our Lord as he has risen from the tomb. It seems as though this has been helpful for us as we prepare for how Jesus serves us. At the end of the day, that's what it's about. How Jesus exemplified himself. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, it says, "He forsake the shame of the cross." In one translation of the Aramaic text, it says that he might become the formation of the fruit of our forgiveness. Wow. Here's the point of that. The point is that the whole composite of Christ's life is to give us access not only to be the community, but to be the exemplary embodiment of what it is to be people who seek peace. Genesis chapter 1 tells us, Genesis 1 and 2, that there were two brothers who struggled so much with the composite of their own hunger and power that eventually they fought over the birthright to the point of which they became almost impossible to be around. Over the last several weeks, we've talked about what it is to be people who are blessed. We talked about the reality that as we look at the language of the text and we talk about this word blessed, that happens in eight different translations in eight different ways over the composite of these nine verses. What we discover is the word blessed for the contemporary language means happy, but it doesn't mean a good definition of what we're called to receive.
that what we're called to receive is not being happy, because it is difficult in these verses to understand how one can be happy when they are poor in spirit, and happy when they mourn, and happy when they are meek, and happy when they hunger, and happy when they're merciful, and happy when they're pure. And you got to know, verse 9, make sure that you understand that it's hard to be happy when you're called to be a peacemaker. Because happiness and helping people get over their hurt is a difficult place to live. But Jesus, as we've discovered, Jesus always, as my wife says, has to go up the rough side of the mountain. And Jesus decides on this side of the Sea of Galilee, this mountainside, which gives us an opportunity to see the mundane reality of his life. For a moment, he draws these people that come from the north, west, south, and east. And as a result of that, they come and listen to him because he has shown himself to be a provider, a healer, and one who is a leader who is fearless. And so he takes the moment in his last year of ministry to prepare the people for the process of what it is to be people who will be disciples of Jesus Christ. And we have discovered through this text that we have several pieces that Jesus does. Verse 3, we discover that he teaches them about the issue of acceptance. In verse 4, he teaches them about the issue of dependence. In verse 5, he teaches them about the issue of what it is to be a person of patience. Verse 6, he talks about eagerness. And verse 8, he talks about translucence. We weren't able in this series to get to verse 7 at another time, another place. Verse 9 is where Jesus takes on the issue of quietness. Because Jesus says, in essence, that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be the children of God. And what you know about people who are peaceful is the thing that they want the most, the thing that they hunger for among all other things is quiet. My third favorite verse in the entire text says this, Isaiah 30 and 15. It says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. It means when you have nothing to prove, shut your mouth and let your actions speak for themselves. But Jesus, Tom Jesus, can't help himself. He is the guy and he can't help talking. And so in this soliloquy of over three chapters, he preaches his longest, most verbose sermon that Luke tries to codify. Isn't it strange, just for those of you who are biblical scholars, have you noted that of all the texts that you would think, it would be Luke would be the one who have written three chapters about Jesus' sermon? But it's not. It's actually Matthew, who is the second shortest writer in the entire Bible. He writes in three chapters what Luke takes three verses to write. Those of us who are Bible students tells us Jesus is saying something worth listening to here. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. The word blessed here comes from a Hebrew language, which means this, whole and nurtured. Whole and nurtured. In the Greek, it means this, fulfilled and favored. In the root language of the African text, the Aramaic language, here's what it means. Listen, complete and confident are the people who make peace, for they will be called children of God. I made a bold statement when we began this series, and I want to make it again here today. In order to be that person who is blessed, you have to understand yourself as one, listen very carefully, who stands in the status of a required posture proclamation, which means simply this, you have to change your attitude each and every day to be more Christ-like than you would be in your natural self. You got to reshape and reformat and reconstruct yourself as best you can under the guidance of the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ so you can be more like Christ, because if left to your own volition, you will be nothing like him on your own. And to this end, adapting an attitude of being blessed being whole, confident, courageous as a peacemaker calls for an understanding of the need for acceptance of others and other realities, even as you do not accept the difference for yourself. It requires a commitment to being a build bridger while maintaining a theological and ethical integrity of how you know Christ to be, even at some personal cost, when it embodies the fellowship and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said it this way, and I'll say it again. Christianity ain't for chumps. It just ain't. Because some of this stuff you got to swallow will make you swallow time and time and time again. And the truth of your testimony is, can you keep swallowing? And so Jesus says to the people who say they want to be blessed, if you want to be blessed, be a peacemaker. And if you want to be a peacemaker, you'll become the children of God. And if you want to be a child of God, you're going to have to learn what peacemaking means. And here's what he says in essence. Peacemakers often subject themselves to their own, subject their own rights and their dignity, their own strength in human form for the sake of the need that the community needs to learn how to be more peaceful. Now, I need to be clear here. Peacemaking cannot become a Messiah complex kick for people. So don't try to bite into this process of being a peacemaker because you're going to get some credit out of this. Nobody's following you to the cross. Jesus already died for me. I don't have to die for you. Isn't that true? But you cannot get out of being a peacemaker if you're going to follow Jesus. Yeah, it's a tough subject. Because you have real fears and struggles in the process of trying to be more Christ-like, and you cannot ignore them, but at some point you have to faith your fears to death and allow yourself to follow even through the shadow of the valley of death. Because doing so provides fruit for living for others. It's interesting. It's just to note, there are two things Jesus says if you take on this challenge. Here he says, first, blessed are those who enjoy my favor. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Blessed are those who enter into the prospect. Whatever that beatitude is, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness. Whatever that blessed status is, what you gain is God's favor, God's ability to live in it, even though you could not withstand it in your natural being. And number two, God says to those who will take on the challenge, he says that the power and promise of the Beatitudes are centered, never forget, are centered in the one whose word itself creates and constructs what is true reality. Well, Troy, how do you know that? John chapter 1, verse 3 says this, that through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that was made and has been made. In other words, that even though you think that you will be the peacemaker that will make peace, you don't make peace yourself. You are the tool that Christ will use in spite of you to make peace, because somehow he will use you. The Christ in you will come in you, and the word that you offer and the witness that you live will be of such a composite in beyond your own ability to say and know so that Christ will use you for his manifest glory. Dr. King said it this way, that true peace is not merely the absence of tension, but it is the presence of justice. It is the ability to look past the pain of the moment and see what is the long goal that is ahead and smile and say it is well. Claiming your blessed place in community as a peacemaker requires six things very quickly. First, it requires the peacemaker to make their mission in word and deed real peace versus false comfort. Number two, the peacemaker who is blessed makes their momentum faithfulness to the Christ as their mandate. Number three, peacemakers practice making peace with passion. With passion. Number four, peacemakers push aside calls for passivity. Number five, peacemakers persist in seeking peace even in painful times. And last, peacemakers pursue people who promote peace and not appeasement. Now, very quickly, I want to run through these very quickly. I know that time is passing and we've got something to do, and I want to offer you a sacred moment here as we move to this place. But very quickly, I just got to hit these. First, peacemakers make their mission in word and deed real peace for false comfort. One of the historic realities of the church is in 325 AD, their Council of Nicaea, which gives us our Nicene Creed, one of the rubrics of our faith where we talk about the sovereignty of God in Christ as they are composited in the Trinity in 1 and 3. You need to know that 318 preachers couldn't agree to that, to the point where some preachers and the Council of Nicaea gave their life for that creed. Over a 10-year period, they sat in Turkey and fought day after day over whether Jesus was God or not. So lest you think that somehow the world just should be able to get it from us if we can't figure it out. Peace is a process that is painful but can happen when people pursue it. Number two. Peacemakers make their momentum faithfulness to Christ's mandate. They refuse to allow the focus of their mission to be thwarted. Jesus says to them on the mountainside, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called." Not that they are called, but they shall be called. They will eventually be called children of God. The bishop who is our oversight gave all of us clergy these three things we're trying to live by, which is called our clergy covenant. And listen to what they say. Do no harm. Think before you act. It's part of what John Wesley said are the general rules of the church. Number two, do good. Third, stay in love with God. You see, if I don't stay in love with God enough to study his text and study his spirit and be in prayer and stay in worship, even during painful times, then I will fall off the wagon. As Ken Sands says in his book, The Peacemaker, the pendulum of one trying to be a peacemaker will go so far to the left or right that I will not stay in the middle, which is the sweet spot, and focus in on what is the mission of being peacemakers. Not because I want to seek righteousness for myself and my ego and being right all the time, which is judgment, or not to the far left, which says, I let anything go because any mistake made is not accountable. It is in the sweet spot of the middle space where I say that there's both grace and accountability that needs to be offered in a way that's loving and forward thinking and transformative for the souls of God's people, where I find my place, where I make peace, where people are whole and the community stays together. Number three, peacemakers practice making peace with passion. People say, how do I do that? What's the process? All my years here, I've told you this, and I will stay here till I'm in July. Here's what it is. Matthew 18, 15 through 20. If your brother or sister, if you're having a problem with them, go to them. Just between the two of you. And if they listen to you, you have won them over. But, verse 16, if they will not listen, take one or the other two along so that every matter may be established by testimony to the two or three witnesses. I'll let you read the rest of it at home. There's a process for this conflict that you're dealing with, whether it's home or whether it's corporate. There's a process. And what I'm saying to you is you practice the process with passion, even though the pain sometimes doesn't feel good, because it's bigger than you. It's about the process. And let me tell you something. Sometimes you're not going to get your way. I'm not saying it's okay, but it's okay. Because the process of Jesus is worthy of being followed. Number four, peacemakers push aside calls for passivity. I need to say this to you. The place where these kind of practices go awry is when we quit because it's getting too painful for us. We embody it in what we call traditionally passive-aggressive behavior, where we hide our rock until we can have a whole boatload of them and then throw them all at the same time to try to make sure the person that's caused us pain doesn't come back with us and rebuffs us. Remember what it says at the end of verse 9? Children of God. You see, when you see somebody through the lens of them being a child of God, it's hard to continue to throw rocks at somebody who you know God loved enough to die for. Oh, the world is waiting for us to give that kind of witness. They're waiting for us to love people enough not to throw a rock, even though you may feel in your natural self, as I have at times, you feel like you have every right to do some. Hold on to the rock. Hold on to the rock. Five, persist. Peacemakers persist in seeking peace, even in painful times. Troy, where you get that from? I don't need the Bible for this. I got historical reference. Just in case somehow you have forgotten about the reality of our lives as people who live in this world, there's a man named Gandhi who several years ago taught the people in India how to even practice their faith of Hinduism as a process of loving God and doing so even at the sticks and bricks of those who tried to oppress them. Even in a different faith tradition, that doesn't matter. It doesn't come where you come from, your color, your race. All of us have to learn the process of being both in pain, but yet and still living in justice in a way that we fight for it with security. And it ain't easy, and it ain't fun, and it ain't nice, but guess what it is? It is what it is. You don't believe me? Ask those of the civil rights movement who for decades only wanted to vote and saw violence as a result of it. Troy, I need some good news. Okay. I'll leave you some good news because this is the gospel of good news. Remember, it comes out of Matthew chapter 5 and Jesus preaches good news to the poor. Here it is. Peacemakers pursue people who promote peace and not appeasement. They put people in their walk who let the words of their mouth and the meditations of their hearts be acceptable in his sight, in her sight, in God's sight. They find people who have a good conversation. They sound a little bit just like this.
Oh Lord, my strength, my
What this table is all about, this open table that as an elder of the church I'm inviting you to now as our communion stewards move quickly here. It is the purpose for this gift. The world was in utter dismay, unbeknownst to itself, and Jesus on a Thursday night gathered his disciples and said these words, "This is my body, the Lamb of God, that will be broken for you and the sins of the world. Take, eat, and know that you have been forgiven." Even before you know you need the depth of forgiveness that you will require. Likewise, he took up the cup and he said, "This is my blood," because sometimes it takes the ultimate sacrifice. Poured out for you and for many. I love what it says in the authorized text, for the expiation, the removal of sin. Friends, our stewardship family of communion stewards are coming. Let us pray as we prepare for this gift. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ our Lord, broken by his blood, broken by our sin, broken by our grace even. Make us one in Christ, one with each other, and one in final victory until the world comes together again and we feast at your heavenly banquet. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now, henceforth, and forever, God's people did say. Process will be this as we conclude our sermon and as we conclude our series. Except for one final note I've got to give you next week. We'll take communion together. We'll remember his grace and honor his love. The communion stewards will meet here and they'll have stations for you and you'll pour out a piece of the bread. You'll take a piece of the bread from one of the plates and you'll take a section of the wine or grape juice as we use here. And you'll hear these words, "The body of Christ broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Take and eat and know that you are loved." It seems that peacemakers need to be reminded that they also need the presence of Jesus Christ. The table set, the house is in order. And as you do so, as you receive, you're welcome to come back to the altar if you need a second stop of prayer as we worship. The ushers are leading now. Come. Receive. for the table is set and the house is in order. God is available to you this day.
Our freedom. child of God.
Let's thank the band. I'm not going anywhere till July, so we're not doing any of that today. Go be peacemakers. Have a great week. Take care.
God of this city, you're the king of these people, you're the Lord of this nation. You are, you're the light in the darkness, you're the hope for the hopeless, you're the peace for the restless. You are. You're the God of this city. You're the King.